Hey everyone, my name is Aaron and I'm the high school pastor here at Canyon Ridge. And I just wanna make sure that you know we are with you, we are for you, and above all of that, we are praying alongside you as we enter into this new school year and just believing that there is good to be had even in an unprecedented time like this. And here at Canyon Ridge, we've been looking at what it means to sort of live day by day and to ask God to help us. And I think more than ever, we need God's help.
Absolutely. We've been saying this over and over, that God is always, always, always up to something. And a lot of times it feels like we can see far down the road and guess and expect what he's up to. Like, we just couldn't have expected the school year to look like this. And yet it does. And so we're trying to figure out, what does it look like to just live today? And then we'll live the next day and the next day. And God shows up in all of that. And so we've been looking at some history of God's people. The Israelite people in the Old Testament and the Bible, because they had to live in a season of their lives day by day by day. And having so much in common with them, we actually get the opportunity to kind of look over their shoulder and learn a little bit about how to live that way, right? And so today, we're going to talk about how not only, like we have said, do we need God's help, do we need rest, do we need reminders, but we need help from others. And so we're going to lean in on that today.
Yeah, we're going to look at a story from the book of Exodus in the Old Testament. And I'm going to be reading in chapter 17, and I'm going to start in verse 8. It goes like this. It says, "While the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, 'Choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill, holding the staff of God in my hand.' So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. And Moses' arms soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses holding up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset. And as a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle."
One of the habits we've been kind of developing around here, especially in discovery-based learning, is to listen into the scripture and then kind of retell the story in plain language. It helps us process it and learn how to tell the story. So I'm just going to do that right quick. So the people of Israel have been rescued out of slavery, and like we've seen in the past couple of weeks, some pretty epic ways that God provided, but then they run into some adversity. The Amalekites attack them. And so obviously they're looming. They stop the battle for the night. But Moses says, "You know what? Here's the thing. I am going to take the staff of the Lord up on top of the hill. And Joshua, you choose some people to go into battle." And so Joshua and some warriors go to work fighting. Moses and a couple of friends, Aaron and Hur, climb to the top of the mountain. And they took along with them this staff, this reminder that God was with them, an expression of trust in God. And so this thing happened where any time they acknowledged God's strength, Moses did by holding this staff up, Joshua and the army below would be winning. But any time he lowered it, if for any reason, they stopped winning and they started to lose. And so Moses says, "Well, listen, I'm going to hold this up the whole way till this is finished, but he can't handle it. He gets tired. He wears down," which I can relate. We wear down. We run out of strength. And so a couple of friends, Aaron and Hur, say, "You know what? Take a seat, man, and we'll hold your arms up." And so they steady his arms and consistently until the battle is won. And so God wins an epic victory with all of these different cool players involved.
It's really neat. Yeah.
Yeah. It's awesome. And so as I was talking with Aaron a little bit about this, we kind of prepare our teaching series together. And as Aaron talked a little bit about some of the things she was seeing, and I'm like, man, we just need to teach this thing together. And so Aaron and I actually have a couple of different observations from the story about God, about his people, how we respond. And so we're just going to offer that, a couple of different angles of the story and a couple of shifts that we can make, a couple changes that we can make to be people who are marked by people who receive help from God. And so, you know, what's the first observation, the first angle that we can look at from this?
Yeah, when we were kind of reading this story together, one of the first things that I noticed is that Moses receives help from a couple of friends, right? But that help doesn't just help Moses. That help is like a ripple effect that goes out to the army. Yeah. that experiences victory, right? And so this, when we allow ourselves to receive help like Moses did, it's a ripple effect. And something about that image is just so powerful to me that it goes out to others from us.
Yeah, and you can go even one ripple farther than that, right? So like, there's Moses and the guys on the mountain, there's the battle that's raging beneath and they get to win. And what we kind of forget about is that when that battle's over, they go back to a whole group of God's people, maybe as many as 2 million people who were protected from this attack, and hear yet another story of God's provision.
Right.
So one person receiving desperately needed help goes to an army, goes to millions.
Right.
Awesome ripples.
When we talk about help, it's interesting that I jump to giving help, but actually there's two pieces to help, and one of those is the receiving of help. Yeah. And Moses models that well in this story, and just how that receiving help affects so many people.
Yeah, so many times we think that the help is for us, and it is. Like, we do experience help when other friends around me kind of support and encourage me. I go home a better dad, a better husband, a better friend to other people, and that has impact on others, right? But sometimes we make it a little too much about us, and we're a little resistant to help.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it can be hard to receive help.
Yeah, I think it's an important question to ask ourselves. Like, how are we doing at receiving help? How am I doing at receiving help? I think if I'm going to receive help, I have to check my own pride. I mean, pride and ego are often the thing that stands in our way when it comes to receiving help. I find myself often, maybe you can relate to this, Drew, I often say to myself, like, I don't need help, or I can totally do this on my own, or I'll figure it out, or, like, I sort of want to do it my own way, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. For me, it's even, like, all of those, for sure, right? There's also times where I feel like it's my obligation to do it. Like, it's because of my role or my responsibility, either as a husband or the dad or the adult or a leader or anything like that, I feel like, well, I'm supposed to do this.
Right, right.
And so then I just kind of run myself into the ground when all along help was surrounding me. I just kind of refused to receive it.
Absolutely. And I think those phrases, when we find ourselves saying to ourselves, or maybe even out loud sometimes, like, I got this, I can do this, those are probably really great indicators that it's a good time to ask for help.
Yeah, right. At least ask the question and spend some time reflecting, like you had said. Like, listen, how am I doing at that? We can get it wrong on any given day. No one gets it right all the time. But maybe if we look at a pattern over time and say, what is this saying? What is my life saying about my willingness to receive help? And what might that reveal about some pride? Because there's another alternative, right?
Right.
We can set down our pride, but you got to pick something up. What should we pick up?
Right. I think we have to begin with humility. In order for me to receive help or to even ask for help, I have to be humble enough to admit that I need help, right? Humble enough to receive help. But what's so cool about that is humility is kind of the beginning and the end of receiving help. Like, I have to be humble enough to ask, humble enough to receive. But when I do that, the result is I actually grow in my humility.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You get, if humility is not a diminishing or a minimizing of ourselves, but a right sizing of ourselves, like, in our clear moments, we know we don't have all the strength that we need. Like, we need more than we brought to most situations. And when we're honest about that, if we'll just offer a little bit of that to the situation and receive help, that's confirmed instead of being condemned as someone who can't or someone who's not enough or anything like that. Instead, what we realize is, man, just setting down my pride for a moment, receiving some help produces a lot of good and these ripple effects to everyone else. And at the end of it, I have a more right-sized and healthy view of ourselves.
Yeah. When Drew and I were talking about this story and just some of what stood out to us, Drew said something that really stood out to me, and it's been sitting with me over this last week or so. And he was referencing a passage in the New Testament that says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And then Drew added, he said, but grace often comes in the form of other people. And so, Drew, I was wondering, for all of our sake, if you would just lean into that a little bit more. What do you mean?
Well, you know, we talked a little bit about how pride is that barrier between us and help that we need, and therefore all the help and good that others would receive, right? We can become the bottleneck in preventing all of that good from happening with our pride. And so part of that comes from just experience where God, like, provided help way before I asked for it, way before I needed it. And it's like, man, God was so generous, which is part of what grace means. The root word of grace is a gift. And God provides the gift of other people to show up and be help in our lives, to produce those ripple effects of good for my friends, for my family, and all of those people around me. And so, yes, God helps directly. Yes, his spirit fills us with strength. Yes, we have an interpersonal relationship. We can be with him, but often we isolate too much and make that just about us. It's just help for me so I can refuse it, or it's just that. But instead, God shows up in our lives by his spirit alive in his people, providing just what we need in just the right way. Yeah. Like, has that happened for you? Have you had moments where you just desperately needed God to show up and in walks your friend,
yeah,
or in walks a family member, or in walks someone that you are in a life group with, or something like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. I think of huge transition times in my life, one of them being moving to Las Vegas, right? Yeah. And how much just sort of chaos I felt and uncertainty I felt. And God demonstrated his grace to me and people.
Yeah.
And continues to do that day by day by day.
Yeah. So I hadn't really thought about this till just now, but often, sometimes when we push God's people away, we're really refusing God's help.
Mm.
Like, God is showing up with his grace in the form of his people, and sometimes we resist that.
Yeah.
And maybe at least one of the things that we learn that you're drawn out for us is when we do that, those ripple effects of good don't happen.
Yeah.
Imagine Moses refusing help, right, or having walked up the hill alone and run out of the strength that he needed. That has massive implications for the army below, has massive implications for God's people.
Mm-hmm.
This victory story is all of a sudden halted from the start.
Yeah.
So we need to set down our pride and pick up humility. Right,
right.
And so it ends really well though, right? So there's this phrase that meant a lot to you in this story. What was it?
Yeah, so at the very end of the story, the scripture tells us, it says, his hands held steady until sunset. I was just thinking briefly about that word steady, feeling like not very much feels all that steady, both in my life or in the world around us right now. And so I was drawn to this idea that not only did Moses, was he able to hold it up and were his arms just shaky and he barely made it, but his hands were steady. Mm. And that steadiness only took place because he was willing to receive help.
In the shaky, shaky climate that we're in, and all the questions about not just school, though that's a big one for a lot of people right now, but when we look at the economy, we look at all the things that are ahead of us that are kind of driving us into a one day at a time kind of life, it can feel really shaky. But the steadiness comes from other people.
Absolutely.
Which brings us to this other angle, right? So we talked about the receiving of help, but there's another angle we can imagine from this story, taking the posture of one of the other people in the story instead of Moses.
Right.
What's the second angle?
So we receive help, which can be really challenging, but good. But we also have to give help. Giving help to other people is equally as important as receiving. Yeah. But giving help requires that we are present in our own lives and the lives of people around us. And so I'm curious if you could speak to that idea of presence.
Yeah, what happens is I don't think anybody knew exactly how long the battle was going to last or exactly how things were going to play out. But Moses walks to the top of the hill, not by himself, but surrounded by his guys. He's got Aaron and Hur with him. I don't think they had any plans or knowledge of what was going to happen. They just went up there trying to be obedient to what God had said. And so Joshua and all his guys given their best in the valley, and these two guys up on top of the hill, and only because they were there, and only because they were paying attention, were they able to offer the help that was needed in the right way at the right time.
Right.
Being fully present to their friend and what God was up to in this season is what allowed them to offer help.
Yeah.
Right? So, which feels to me super tied to this idea of attentiveness.
And
our attentiveness is scattered everywhere. Maybe no more true than in the lives of teenagers and others that you work with.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a definite difference between our physical presence and our attentiveness. I mean, I could be sitting here having a conversation with you, Drew, but be looking at my phone as you answer my questions.
Yeah.
I'm physically present, but my attentiveness, my presence is actually in what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really important as we think about showing up in the lives of other people or helping other people. Like, our attention is a sign of our presence. And you're present to whoever or whatever you are giving your attention to.
Yeah, I think this is so many ways that we can get scattered, either caught up in the last event or worried about the next event, but a life that is day by day by day, trusting God to give us just what we need today, allows us to show up in people's lives. And honestly, it takes a little bit of the pressure off of being someone else's help.
Absolutely.
Like we're not called to be people's rescuer.
Yeah.
God empowers us to show up in the right way. And what happens is the need often just presents itself.
Yeah.
And it's not nearly as complicated as we thought. Like these two guys, like, I could hold that guy's arm up. In fact, Moses, why don't you sit down so we don't have to hold it so high?
Right,
you
know, like, right.
It wasn't complicated. It wasn't overwhelming. But because they were attentive, they were able to offer what was needed.
I know I relate to this. Things will happen in the lives of people around me. And my first question is, oh my goodness, what can I do? How can I help? And I think it's really important, this example of Moses' friends. They were just with him. They just walked with him. They just showed up. They had an attentive posture to what was happening around them.
Yeah. There was an availability.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? They were there. And this amazing shift happens when we do that, right? So we talked about the change from pride to humility. Now we get to talk about this shift in offering help from being an observer to being a contributor, right? It's the difference between sitting in the stands and watching as a fan, or being on the field and playing in the game. When we show up in people's lives, we actually get to be contributors. We get to make a difference. We get to take the contribution that God has placed in us and offer that to someone else.
Yeah.
And so they, at the end of the story, get to look at us and say, God showed up in you.
Absolutely.
And that's such, what an honor,
right?
To show up in that way.
I think one thing that I hear when you say that is, like, I love sports, right? So when I watch and my team wins, that's pretty cool. But I'm just an observer in that. I mean, victory is still sweet.
Totally.
But when I was a kid and I played sports and I was a contributor, the victory was so much sweeter in those moments.
Absolutely. Grand Canyon difference between I saw that and I was part of that.
Yeah.
When we show up with availability and attentiveness, God invites us into... Yeah, maybe there's a risk and a cost in that, but the celebration is just so much sweeter. It's so much bigger. We experience not only a deeper friendship and connection with the people who we're living life with, but also an experience of God's work.
Yeah.
Like, what was it like, Moses and these two guys walking down the hill? You know, Moses kind of walking down with a little bit of swag from when, making that up. It's not in the Bible, but I just imagine it that way. And these two guys behind him are like, look at this guy. And they're like, fist bump, like, we got you, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Floppy arms. And so, you know, and then they get down to the camp. I just totally imagine. I'm just imagining this, but they sit down and they tell the story with Joshua, who I don't think he knows in the midst of the battle what's happening on top of the hill.
Right.
And so Joshua's like, man, that was so touch and go, back and forth. And then all of a sudden, man, we just got some momentum and we went. And then they hear this other angle of the story and the way that these men had stood and trusted God on their behalf. And how cool that each of them got to talk about how God invited them in to be a part of that story and offer help to one another. Such a cool celebration.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And so they move from being onlookers to being contributors. Such a big deal. And so there's these two angles, right? There's this receiving help that requires a different kind of humility, invites us to connection in God's grace. And then there's this the giving of help, which asks of us attentiveness, but offers us the meaningful side of contribution.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we don't want to just be people who hear what God says.
Right.
We want to be people who put that into practice. And so we try to offer questions that help people have great conversations about what God has for them next. So you've got a couple questions for us.
Yeah, I think the first question out of this is, who can I help? I think every one of us should be asking that question this week. Who can I help? Or maybe another way to put that question is, who am I showing up for? Who am I showing up with?
Yeah.
When we do that, sooner or later, the opportunity to help will come around.
Yeah, which is so important. You don't have to show up with all the answers.
Right.
You don't have to be the expert. We just are present and attentive. And God, how can I help?
Yeah.
God, what is the way in which you want me to show up?
Yeah.
It's a great question. Who can I help? But all of us err on one side or the other of this sometimes, right?
Yes.
So there needs to be some balance to that. Not just, we're not someone's rescuer. God is. We just stand in the gap full of his spirit, offer what we can offer, bringing what we can. So the flip side of this is the second question, not just who can I help, but...
who's helping me?
Yeah.
We have to make space for other people to show up in our lives. So maybe another way to put that is, who's showing up for you? Who are you allowing to show up for you or inviting to show up for you? Who can you invite to move from just being an observer to a contributor in your life?
Yeah, people watching your story unfold or people playing a role. There's way richer friendship, way greater experience of God, way more celebration and stories of God showing up when we make space for others. But there's some risk in that. There's some vulnerability in that, right? Absolutely. And so on both sides of who can I help and who is helping me?
Yeah.
Now, there's one part of this story. Anytime we look at the story of God, we want to ask, you know, why is this story here? What is the biggest takeaway that we should take from this? And maybe the biggest one here is that God is the hero of this story. God is the one who won the battle, not Joshua. Joshua played a role. He played his part. Moses, Aaron, Hur, they played their parts. They all got to be a part of this and connect. But above all, the theme of this story is God was more known to his people on this day. You know, after days and days and days walking through the desert, just collecting enough food for that day, trying to learn how to practice the Sabbath, there's some other stories we haven't read about they run out of water, God provides. They run out of this, God provides. They need this, God provides. And so now they end up in this panic battle attack that they didn't imagine. But God was the help that they need. And the way he showed up is by his people. The God's character of, I got you, I'm with you, I'll include you, all rings true in this story. And the outcome is not wow Moses or wow Aaron or wow Hur or wow Joshua. It is wow God, you're so good. This is the kind of story that God wants to write this fall for each one of us. As we invite his people by his spirit to bring help into our lives, as we allow the spirit in our lives to show up with presence and attentiveness, just offering whatever we bring to those around us, God's character, his generosity, his grace for the humble shows up. And people know God more, which is, I think, what this whole season is about. God is saying, let me show you who I am. Let me show you, let me show you. Let me show you today, I'll show you tomorrow, I'll show you the day after that, day by day by day. I'll show you, just trust me today. See, the weight and strength of God's generosity in our lives is showing up, even in the challenge, maybe especially in the challenge, day by day.
I think the generosity of God is just worthy. It's worthy for us to pause just for a moment and to just reflect on that word generosity. I just think God's generosity, like you said, it drives us to be present with an attentive posture, not just to the people around us, but to him.
Absolutely.
To what he's given us and to what how he continues to show up for us and provide for us. When I think of God's generosity, I think first and foremost of the gift of Jesus. Yeah. The fact that this great big God would send his son to live among us, to live with us, to show up. If anyone lived with an attentive posture, it's Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he would come and live among us, and then he would die on our behalf. Man, that's generosity.
Yeah.
So we're going to take communion here in just a moment. And so if you need to gather some things wherever you are to do that, we would just invite you to join with us in that. But we want to reflect together on the generosity of this gift of Jesus. And that's what communion is. It's this invitation to remember, to celebrate, to reflect on a generous God who shows up in every way we need, day by day. And so let's celebrate communion together right now.
So let's take just a moment, having kind of soaked up God's generosity and counting on victory in the same way God provided for his people living day by day then. God will provide victory right now in the same way that he has invited us close. He'll do that day by day by day. And so let's pray together. God, I pray you would give us the highest degree of confidence in you, not for every single day. We don't need to know the whole plan, God, because we know you. And seeing your character over and over and over, we know you'll provide. There may be things that feel like they're bearing down on us, even attacking us right now, God, but we place our trust in you. And God, thank you for the way that you've designed the church and the way that you surround us with one another. May we be the kind of people who show up generously, ready to support others in the same way, God, you've shown up generously in rescue of us. And God, in humility, recognizing how good and giving you are and recognizing that your people are the way that you do that, God, would we invite people closer, creating some space for them to be contributors and participants in the story you're writing in our lives. God, may there be all kinds of stories of celebration in the way that you rescue, the way that you come through. And may all of it be in our lives and the lives of our friends and those that we know. May it all be for your glory so the world may know you, trust you, rely on you, enjoy you, and rest in you. In Jesus' name, amen.